Oh, hey there. You angry yet? Well, just give it a little time. You will be. This fuse is a little too long, so I'm just shortening it for you. Anger's work is never done, you know? You got your co-worker's fuse. You got your in-law's fuse. You got your family road trip fuse. I'm gonna make that one extra short. Hey, don't blame me. You're the one freaking out and yelling at everybody. And if you're not yelling right now, your fuse is so short, you're one spilled sippy cup away from a full-on meltdown. Say, how many dollars are in your swear jar right now? My guess? You could buy a Maserati with all that cash. Then you can experience a higher quality of road rage than you currently enjoy in your Chrysler town and country. Yeah, I'd be mad too if I had to drive that around. Seriously, I know there are a few things that legitimately deserve my attention, but I so appreciate how you've also allowed me to pretty much take over even the smallest area of your life. Ah, almost forgot, the kid's bedtime fuse. There you go. Have a good night.
Oh, I don't know about if it's just me, but is this guy, is he kind of getting a little too close, hitting a little close, too close to home? I mean, like, my goodness. Well, a few months ago, I got home from work, and Jamie just kind of, her eyes lighted. She says, hey, we have ants crawling all over our kitchen countertop. And so, you know, I go over to our kitchen countertop, and I look, and sure enough, there's ants crawling everywhere. So what do? You know, I break out a paper towels. I think, this is a fluke. Hey, someone left the door open or a piece of food out. So I look at Jamie, I get a piece of paper towel, and I go, it's that easy, okay? What would you do without me, woman? I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? And so I move on. The next day, too, I get home from work, and she goes, there's still ants all over our countertop. So I walk over. You know what I do? I grab the paper towels again. I tear off another paper towel, I clean them all off, and I'm like, it's really this easy, okay? Day three, can you see where this is headed? I get home, she actually doesn't say a word about any ants, so I thought, see, wiping works. So, yeah, I did it, I solved it, you know, and I'm at dinner, I'm eating my dinner with my plate, and she promises she didn't do this. And I'm eating dinner, and literally, an ant is crawling on my plate in my dinner. And so I look at Jamie, I'm like, look at this. And it's almost as if her look in her eyes were like, you gonna wipe that up, buddy? And I said, no, I'm like, no, ma'am. And so I get a flashlight and I'm Sherlock Holmes, right? I'm digging everywhere. I've got a flashlight just looking. And sure enough, you know, I found the source. We had this little crack. And what do you know? When you dig deep and you look, and you find the root, you solve the issue. Now, how dumb would it have been for me every single day to come home and just go, let's just clean this up again. Let's just wipe this off again. Let's just do that. And yet, in some ways, what we're learning in this series that we've been in the last few weeks is that's what many of us do with our lives. See, there's messes that we see from our behavior that just kind of come out of us, and we see the messes, and we just clean them all up. We just keep cleaning them up instead of digging deep and going, what's underneath all these messes? It's almost as if we say, no, this is just a mess. I don't know where this came from. Nothing to see under here. No junk under here. I don't know where this is coming from. And what we've seen the last few weeks is Jesus says so clearly, I know where it's coming from. It's coming from something that's gotten lodged in your heart. And we push back, no, I've got a good heart. And Jesus says, that's because you've learned to filter. You clean up your messes really, really well. But listen, anytime something comes out of you that you don't like, there's something in your heart. And we've looked at this verse almost every single week because I think it makes it just so clear you can't escape it. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, don't just guard your behavior. Don't just clean up the messes. What do we got to do? Say it out loud. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so we've been developing some new habits, okay? And they're not all easy, but we've been developing some new habits to stop just cleaning up the messes, but to begin to look into and start to clean out some of the things that get lodged in our heart. And today, I saved today's topic towards the end of the series because today's topic, the smooth criminal, is by far the most devastating of any of the four we'll talk about. It's also the one that most people have the biggest struggle looking at what Scripture says to get this out of your heart. People struggle doing it. But here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about this one word, anger. Does anybody else struggle with anger? Now, let's be clear. Every single one of us is going to get angry. But is there a pattern of anger that you see coming out of you? Now, even if it's not you, you know someone that's angry, don't you? I mean, it's almost like you know someone that you would say, maybe you haven't thought about it this way, but it's just like they carry anger with them everywhere they go. And the way you know that is you would describe it like this. You would say, when I'm around that person, it just feels like I'm walking on eggshells all the time. Or like we saw in the video, that person has a short fuse. I mean, it's not the big things that they blow up about. It's little things that just set them off. And they just kind of blow up. And maybe that person is you. On Monday this past week, I just got done writing the message, most of the message, and I went home and Jamie said, hey, what are you speaking on this week? I don't even know what the topic is. And I said, well, the topic is anger. And my sweet wife, this is her exact quote, I wrote it down. Well, at least you've had a lot of experience with that. And that made me really angry, okay? I'm joking, it didn't. We laughed about it. But you have to understand something. Early in our marriage, this was a struggle for me. You would have described me as triggered. It didn't take much to set me off. And it was the little things. And Jamie would just kind of speak into my life and just go, man, where's all this coming from? And I didn't understand at the time what I understand now, which is something had gotten lodged in my heart. And it was anger. And you know why anger is such a smooth criminal? It's so deceptive. Because if you would have asked me back then if I struggled with anger, I would have said unequivocally, no. I would have said I didn't. See, we disguise this one, don't we? I mean, we say something like this. We say, oh, I'm not angry. I just have a little bit of a temper. I'm not angry. I'm just really blunt. I'm direct. How about this? I'm not angry. It's just my personality type is I just don't put up with junk or whatever word you'd stick there, okay? I don't know. How about this one? I'm part Irish. Right? Some of you said that, right? And so we disguise it. But hey, if you don't think you're angry, if you don't think you struggle with this, I would suggest you ask the people closest to you. Aren't they a better gauge than you? And if you're not motivated to deal with this, I can guarantee you the people around you that love you are so motivated for you to deal with this. So here's what we're going to do today. We are going to open up a passage of Scripture that is just so rich. This passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there, it takes dead aim at slaying anger in our heart. And the thing I love about this passage is it's so crystal clear. Scripture is so clear on how to rid anger from your heart. It's so simple, and yet it might be one of the hardest things that any of us have ever had to do. But this passage gives us so much hope because it's written by a man that if anyone had the right to be angry, It was this man. It was the Apostle Paul. Almost no one in Scripture went through more pain and hurt and betrayal and just anything you could think of that could happen to him happened. He had the right to be angry, and yet Paul learned to deal with anger based on the teachings of Jesus, and so he gives it to us, and it's so clear. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to pick up in verse 26, and you're going to love how it starts. Okay, here's how it starts. Be angry! Some of you are like, that's going to be my life verse now. I'm going to use that, right? Honey, I'm just following Scripture. I'm being angry. I'm kidding. He goes on to say this, be angry and do not sin. Now, what I love about this verse is it's so realistic, right? I mean, it's the command is don't ever be angry. I mean, we know we're going to get angry. Jesus himself in Scripture got angry. Do you remember this? The command isn't don't ever get angry. The command is this. There's a way to be angry and to get rid of it and to rid it and to not carry it with you so it causes you to sin. Now, I don't know about you, but that has me very curious because when I get angry, it normally leads me to do things that I always, always regret. So Paul goes on in verse 26 and he gives us a clue on how to actually do this. He says this, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." Huh. Don't let the sun go down. Now, most of you, you know when you first heard this advice? It was in marriage counseling. You know, someone gave you marriage advice. You remember this? Don't ever go to bed angry. And so some of you stayed up till, you got in a fight, you stayed up till 2, 3 a.m. all night. I mean, it's like you can't keep your eyes open. You're like, honey, we gotta solve this. You know, you're falling asleep. And as much as I'm poking fun at that, listen to me. This passage, I think, is so clear that it is amazing advice for you to not go to bed angry in your marriage. But can I take this a little bit deeper? I want to give some additional thoughts on this passage because, well, let me put it this way. If you are trying to solve your anger by 9 p.m., and that's when you start, hasn't the sun technically already gone down? Let me say this. Aren't there things that you may not be able to solve? They're so big in one day. So I just want to give you some additional thoughts because do you understand that this passage is so clear? Do not carry anger with you day to day. But let me put it this way. Do you understand when the sun sets? The sun doesn't just set on a day. Do you understand there are days when the sun sets and it sets on an entire season? For example, did you know on Saturday night when the sun set, did you know the season of summer is gone? It is now officially fall in Phoenix. Doesn't it feel like fall? It's amazing. No. But do you understand? When the sun set, technically, go look it up. Based on where the sun hits the earth, it's summer's over. And guess what? You'll never get this summer of 2018 ever back again. It's done. But think about the seasons in your life that come and go. I mean, you have a season of childhood, your teenage years. There's a day when the sun set on your teenage years, and you went to college, and the sun set on that. And then you went to work, and there's all sorts of seasons we have. Let me ask a really, really deep question. I want you to ponder. What happens when you carry anger with you from one season of your life to the next? For example, what happens when someone did something so hideous to you as a child or a teenager and you carried it with you into adulthood? What happens when you went through that season of divorce and your first marriage and you carried the anger with you into your new marriage? What happens then? Can I tell you what happens? Anger compounds on itself. It's like interest. It's like compound interest. You wake up one day and get the credit card bill and think, how did this happen? How did it get this big? And it's worse than that. When you carry anger with you from one season to the next, do you understand that you can be angry with someone in your current season of life and you don't understand who you're really, really carrying anger for is someone in another season? And some of you know this because you're in a relationship right now with a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your spouse, and you've never articulated it this way, but here's what you've thought. Is your anger just with me? How big it is? I don't know. I think this anger feels like it's coming from somewhere else besides me. And guess what? It probably is. And this is why Paul is so adamant that we don't carry anger with us from day to day, because eventually you'll carry anger with you from one season to the next. I'd say it this way. Every day you carry anger from something in your past, you'll have a tendency to dump it on someone in your future. I see this in marriage all the time. There's one spouse who's looking at another bitter, angry spouse and going, is this all me? No, it's probably coming from somewhere else. Anger is a secondary emotion. Anger does not just come out of nowhere. You have to look, remember? You have to look beneath the surface and say, hey, all this anger, where's it coming from? And you know where anger comes from? Remember last week we said that jealousy is the idea. Remember Andy Stanley said, jealousy is God owes me. Anger says this. Anger says, you owe me. Anger, when you look underneath the surface, it's from an offense. Someone has offended you, and it's like a debt. They owe you a debt. And so I want to help visualize this for you just so you can kind of get this in your mind. Anytime in your life, there's a mess of anger, and it just kind of comes out of you, and you look at all the ramifications, and you try to clean it up. No, when you look underneath the surface, you know where anger comes from? It comes from an offense. You remember these like ledger debt books that people used to carry? You carry all the debts people owe you. And here's what you find underneath anger. You find that you have a ledger book, and in this ledger book, you've recorded some debts, some offenses. Oh, they ruined you financially. They destroyed your reputation. They hurt your kids. That parent left in your childhood and ruined your childhood, they took your purity. They ruined your first marriage. They had the affair. And I could go on and on and on. And so we take out a marker and we just list all the debts and we carry these debts along with us. And here's what I'm trying to say. When you don't learn to deal with your anger or the offense that comes your way, seasons and days pass and weeks pass and months pass and years pass and it compounds itself. And you just carry it with you. And now you have a whole book of anger. And you're on this page of life. And you're mad at this person in this season of life. And what you don't realize is you're actually carrying anger from way back here. Because you never dealt with this offense. And the anger that it brought. This is where anger is so deceivious. Because let me put it this way. You're angry with someone right now, and it's actually pretty small what they did. It should feel like this. It should feel like a very small thing. It should feel very light. And yet, because you have a whole book of anger and things that you've never dealt with in your life, you know what you do to that person? The full force of your book of anger comes slamming down on that person. And some of you can relate because that's what you feel. Do you see how deceptive anger can be? And the person in your current life, they can't solve your anger issue. You want to know why? Because your debt is with someone in a different season of your life that you've never dealt with. That's how anger is such a smooth criminal. And this is why Paul says this so adamantly. Don't let the sun go down. Don't carry it with you, not just day to day, but from a season of life to another season of life. And then he goes on to tell us what's at stake. Because if you do, listen, do not give the devil a foothold. When you carry anger with you, Paul says, you give Satan, your enemy, a foothold in your life. Do you know what the word foothold means? The word foothold means to give Satan a room, a place to operate in your life. Think about how big this is. When you carry anger with you, it's like you're telling Satan, come on in. I want you to stay in my room with me. He can be in your bedroom right now. He can be in your kid's room. You've given Satan a room in your house. Do you see how big this is? When I first understood this, it made me shudder. It should make some of you shudder, and now some of you realize why. There's no peace in your home. And people, we feel a little convicted. Some of us feel very convicted right now because we know we carry anger with us. But what do we do? I mean, I don't want to carry it around with me. It's just there. I mean, what do I do when the offense is so big in my past that even if someone came to me and said, I'm ready to settle that debt, please help me settle that debt. They can't even do it if they wanted to. How does someone give you back your childhood? How does someone give you back everything they destroyed? How does someone give you back your purity? How does someone give you back your first marriage? What happens when the offense is that big? And if that's you, and I know that's many of us, I want you to hear the story of someone who can relate. Watch this. You know, my heart goes out when I hear that story. It's the unthinkable. you know, and what do you do? What do you do? And Vicky said, I was trying everything. I went to the professionals, and they gave me the coping mechanisms. In other words, they gave Vicky a lot of advice on how to filter. You know, you see this anger coming out? Here's how to filter it better. Here's how to cope with it. But she says nothing worked. And I love what she said. I wrote it down. She said, it consumed every thought, every emotion, every bit of who I was. It became who I was. And maybe some of you can relate. Maybe it's not that situation, but some of you know you're angry. You know there's bitterness, or you know someone that is. And let me tell you, if you're angry and bitter, always, 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 if you're angry in a season right now, you're still carrying something from your past. It's a debt that you've not reconciled. You've not dealt with it. And what you need to understand is this. Hurt people hurt people. They don't want to. It just happens. Which means if you never heal from what hurt you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. I wonder how many of us have that going on right now. And if I could talk to singles for just a moment, I would say this. If you're single and you're dating someone who's angry and bitter, my advice is you should run. You laugh about that, but I mean, really, run until they learn how to deal with it. And you want to know why? Because they're angry and you can't solve it because it's with someone in their past. And until they deal with that, you know what? You'll say, but I love them. I love them. I know. But guess what? Anger destroys love over time. But let's not focus on everybody else, okay? It's easy to point fingers at everyone else. Let's look inward. Is there anybody here that would admit that your anger is hurting a marriage? Would anybody here say that your kids would describe you as maybe an angry parent? Hey, when you show up at work every single year, do you get the same review? It's the same thing on your review. Doesn't work well with people. And you're like, well, it's just who I am. It's my personality. No. Could it be that you have anger that you've never dealt with in your past and you've given Satan a foothold and you don't want to, but what do? And this is where Paul and Scripture is so clear. It's so clear what to do. Paul says this. He goes on in verse 31 and he says this. Get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. He lists any manifestation of anger in your life. And you're like, Paul, I want to get rid of it. Tell me what to do. And he tells us, and be careful because it seems insensitive, but stick with me. Here's what he says. Here's how you get rid of anger. Forgiving each other. You forgive. It's literally as simple as that. Because do you know what forgiveness means in Scripture? Remember how anger says, you owe me? You have a debt. You have a debt to me. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is literally means to forgive a debt. To literally go to your book of your accounts, to go to that page, and to literally take it and rip it out and say, you know what? You owe me, and I'm canceling your debt. You don't owe me at all anymore. It's done, over, paid in full. Even if they never asked for it, even if they never did anything to solve it, you cancel the debt. Doesn't that seem insensitive for some of you for what you've been through? It's only insensitive until you read the rest of the verse, which says, forgiving each other. Oh, that's right. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Do you remember how much God's forgiven you? So as a follower of Jesus, we dish out the same forgiveness that we've received. And you know why it's so hard for some of you to still do that? I think there's about four, these aren't the only, these are four big misperceptions about forgiveness. These are things that hold you back from forgiving. Here's number one, it's probably the biggest. Forgiving means I'm saying what they did is okay, right? If I forgive them, I'm saying what you did is okay. All eyes on me. I don't care where you've been on the surface, all eyes on me. That is a lie. Forgiving is not saying that what they did is okay. What they did is not okay. And when you forgive, you're not saying it's okay. When you forgive, you're only beginning to heal your heart. But we hold on to unforgiveness as a way of punishing someone. And you're only punishing yourself. You see, I would say this. Anger doesn't change the heart of others. It only destroys yours. Hey, when God forgave you, did he say what you did was okay? No. Here's number two. Forgiving is the same as trusting, right? Isn't that right? So I can't forgive until I learn to trust this person. Wrong. Forgiveness and trust are two completely different things. You can forgive someone instantaneously and not trust them, maybe for the rest of your life. Forgiveness, it depends on you. You can give that no matter what they do. Trust, it depends on the other person. They have to earn sometimes your trust back. But don't mix up forgiveness and trust. I wish I had time to go deeper on that. Here's number three. Forgiving means forgetting, right? So until I can forget this offense, then I can't forgive. No, you may forgive and you may never forget. Here's number three. I think this one's probably bigger than we think. Well, forgiving feels like I'm being weak. It's anything but. The strongest people I know on earth are those who've dished out forgiveness to crazy offenses. The weakest people I know are those that hold on to unforgiveness and anger boils in their heart. It makes you weak. I would say it this strongly. Forgiveness may be the greatest show of strength this world will ever see. And the reason I can say that with utter confidence, remember, is because we saw that we're told, Paul says Ephesians 4:32, forgive each other, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. The greatest show of strength this world has ever seen is when your Father in heaven sent his Son Jesus to die on a cross for you. That was the greatest show of strength. And so when we forgive, it is a massive sign of strength in our lives. And some of you, you have so much weakness. You're so weak because anger is destroying your heart. And when you forgive, it renews. It makes you a new person. But you're holding on to anger. Remember, hurt people hurt people. Let me say this. Forgiven people forgive people. And could it be that you're having such a hard time forgiving that other person because you forgot how much God's forgiven you? Others of you, your issue forgiving is different. See, your issue with forgiving is that, well, you've never accepted God's free gift of forgiveness in your life. You've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and been baptized. And the reason why is because you're like, oh, I've done a lot of bad things, so I got to earn God's forgiveness. I'm going to do a lot of great things in my life and get my life in order, and then God will forgive me. That's not how it works. God's ready to forgive you right now, this moment, if you would simply take him up on his free offer. It's free gift. It's a free gift by grace that you've been saved, which means until you hold back receiving God's forgiveness, it will be hard for you to give something you've never received yourself. Or let me put it this way. If you're trying to earn God's forgiveness, you'll make everybody else earn yours. You owe me a debt, and until you pay it back in full, no. So what do you do? I mean, if the answer is forgiveness, what if that's the only way to have peace in your life? I want you to hear the rest of Vicky's story, and then I want you to hear a song from the recent movie that's out right now, Unbroken, which is all about forgiveness. Watch this. See, you know what I love about that song is it's based on a movie that's out right now. I'd really encourage you to go watch this week called Unbroken. It might help you more than this message ever could, but it's the story of someone who needed to forgive, and man, you talk about what he needed to forgive. It's very much like what you saw in that story with Vicky. It's so big. How do you forgive a debt that's so big that someone couldn't even repay you if they wanted to? You simply have to come to a place where you remember how much God's forgiven you, and you have to let it go. It's canceling the debt. They don't owe you anymore. And how do you do that? Because you have to understand the only person when you hold on to unforgiveness that you're hurting is you. And some of you, the hardest part of watching that story of Vicky's story is you see the smiles on her family's face and you know it doesn't represent what you're experiencing right now. How did she forgive? Let me tell you how she forgave. She understood holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And that's what we do. We drink in the poison of unforgiveness, and anger sets in our heart and it destroys everything around you. I told you about how I struggled with anger early in marriage, and What it really stemmed from, I finally found out, was there's a lot of anger I had in my life towards my dad. Right after Jamie and I were married, it had been a long process, but my parents got divorced. And I held so much bitterness and anger, specifically towards my dad. And when you have anger towards a parent, which some of you have, it can be some of the most damaging. And I didn't realize how much I was damaging my marriage. But it just felt like we were stuck. Do you feel stuck? Jamie would say this. She would say, I still remember the day you forgave your dad. And I forgave him completely and fully. One of the most freeing things I've ever done. Did he do something to deserve it? He didn't. Did all the hurt go away? No. But I felt like a weight had been lifted off my life. That's what some of you need. See, forgiveness is like pulling up the anchor so you can finally sail. And so I want to give you a chance today to deal with your anger. If you have any anger in you today, I promise you it's from some sort of offense that you've not dealt with in your past. You need to understand that. And so I want to give you a chance to wrestle with the smooth criminal of anger. And I want to give you a chance to look back. And here's what I'm going to do. We normally take communion together as a community. When you walked in today, there on your seat was a communion packet like this. I'm going to ask you to take this home and let this sit in front of you. I pray that every person here that's a follower of Jesus, you take this home with you. And you let it sit in front of you as a visible reminder that I'm going to do the takeaway from this weekend. You will not take, you say, I will not take communion until I do the takeaway from this weekend. And here's the takeaway. You do this in your time before you take communion. I want to ask that you identify a painful season of life, and I want you to go back as far as possible. Because remember, when you're in a current season of life and you're angry at someone, it's so hard to realize that you maybe have anger from another season of your life. So I want you to go back as far as possible, as far as possible. And just let your mind go. Let your mind go. Did anybody hurt you? Did anybody offend you? Childhood, teenage years, college years, in a previous workplace. And here's what you do. You say very specifically, what did someone take from you? You be as specific as possible. Some of you need to write this down on a piece of paper. Here's exactly what they took from me. They took my childhood. They took my purity. They took my reputation. Write it down. And then here's what you do. You have to get to a place where you forgive. You take what they owe you and you rip it to shreds. And some of you need to make a really big deal out of this. You may need to take a piece of paper and go out and burn it. You may need to rip it up. You may need to do something symbolic to just say, I'm going to forgive. And here's your motivation. Remember, we looked at this verse earlier. Forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. And when we take communion every week, do you understand? That's what we're remembering, how much God has forgiven us. And so communion is a time where we don't just remember how much God's forgiven us. We examine our hearts during communion and we say, God, is there anybody that I need to forgive? Because I am not going to be a person that carries anger with me day to day, season to season, and let it destroy my life. Jamie would say, the day you forgave your dad was the day I think you became the husband I was always looking for. I became, I think, just a better man. But I think eventually it led to me becoming a better father. When my girls were growing up, they would always bring this book to me. Dad, read this one. And it was kind of corny. It was like, you know, some book about a dad dancing with his daughters, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so, but I don't remember the whole book, but here's what I remember. I remember this line in the book. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. And months turn into years. And eventually you find yourself standing with your daughter at her wedding. And I determined, and I'm so glad that I determined I wouldn't let myself carry anger with me days to weeks to months to years into new seasons of life that are going to destroy everything around me. So I'm praying today that you take this packet with you home and that many of you for the first time get real with yourself and say, if there's anger in my heart, there's some sort of unforgiveness in my past, and I'm going to forgive. I can't wait to see what God does in some of your lives because of this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just your gift of forgiveness to us. I pray that as we meditate on that this week, just looking at this representation of your body and blood, that's what communion is. We remember your death, burial, and resurrection, that as we remember how much you've forgiven us, God, would we forgive? And for some of us, there's a season of our life that we've just forgotten about, and we've tried to block it out, and yet it's there, and we've carried anger all this time, and we're going to have to get honest about it. And I pray that you might heal, that you might restore, that God, what's on the line for some of us is a marriage, what's on the line for some of us is our kids or a relationship or a friendship or even our workplace. And would you heal our hearts today, Father, as we deal with anger by forgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, next week we are going to conclude this series, which I think has been really powerful. So I can't wait to see you back next week. I'd say don't come alone, and we'll see you back as we continue Smooth Criminals. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.